And the epistle for this, the second Sunday of after Easter, that of Good Shepherd Sunday, is taken from the first letter of St. Peter. Brethren, Christ suffered for us, leaving you an example, that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile, when he suffered, he threatened not, but delivered himself to him that judged him unjustly, who his own self bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live to justice, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but you are now converted to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Please rise for the Holy Gospel, which is taken from that of St. John. That time Jesus said to his disciples, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. But the hireling, and he that is not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth a wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and flieth, and the wolf casteth and scattereth the sheep. And the hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and he hath no care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. As the Father knoweth me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. And other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Thus far the words of this Sunday's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Ave Maria Purissima. So today, in the Gospel, we hear of our Lord presenting himself as the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. He gives us the example of many virtues we could contemplate today, especially of that of fortitude. Fortitude, says St. Thomas, is to strengthen us so as to persevere in obtaining a difficult good against difficult evils which threaten us. And the evil that we fear the most difficult or the gravest, would be the loss of our bodily life on a natural level. And so we do well to meditate on this virtue today, according to our Lord's example, calling to mind that fortitude, if we think of the structure of our soul, right? We have an intellect, we have a will, we have strong passions, we have delightful, simple passions. Fortitude is one of those cardinal virtues, for those four cardinal aspects, to rightly order our irascible passions, our strong emotions, like anger or fear. And we can recall that even though we don't like to feel, oftentimes those emotions of anger or fear, they do serve a purpose, right? If rightly ordered. We should fear losing what is truly good for us, right? Especially sin. We should likewise take, and it inclines us to take due precaution. Likewise, we should use anger and be daring, right? To attack difficult evils so as to conquer them for the sake of the good. Right? And so, it is a virtue which even on a natural level should be perfected in us, and which we, even the pagans, praised, right? Amongst heroes of war, for example, and their examples of fortitude as a natural virtue. Now, as a natural virtue, of course, it grows by the repetition of actions, right? A good habit. That's how we define a virtue. You have to make constant acts of fortitude so as to grow and possess it in your soul. But in the remember, as even Aristotle the pagan observed, right, it's virtue which makes man happy, right? This is what perfects our human nature. And furthermore, as we have a supernatural end, right, we also receive an infusion of fortitude in our soul, an infused virtue, which to help us to persevere, to be constant, to be daring against grave evils, to obtain difficult goods in the supernatural order. Ultimately the salvation of our soul and the defense of Holy Mother Church. And so, St. Thomas goes on to describe, I preached to you on another occasion on the second Sunday after Easter on cowardice, the vice which is opposed to this. Today I thought I would mention that St. Thomas points out that fortitude requires constancy and perseverance. He mentions that which helps us to persevere in the practice of virtue for the long run. And we need to avoid inconstancy. Inconstancy, which St. Thomas refers to as a certain effeminacy or softness. And he says that this vice often grows He says there is therefore a certain softness and instability. I'm sorry, one sentence before, I take his comments from the great Father Royo Marine in his Theology of Christian Perfection, and which I'll link to the online sermon. But he points out how inconstancy, again, this effeminacy of soul, which goes against the virtue of constancy and fortitude by extension, he says inconstancy causes a man to give up the practice of virtue as soon as difficulties and obstacles are encountered. There is therefore a certain softness and instability or fickleness to be found in inconstant persons. The tendency to desist from the pursuit of a good, which is difficult to attain, as is the faithful practice of a virtue, is especially manifested in effeminate persons because they are especially attracted to pleasures. And as soon as pleasures are lacking in any given activity, their first impulse is to abandon that activity. And so there's the cause. And think about it, both for our own formation and for forming your children in virtue. Again, we live in a society where everything is easy, right? Where pleasures are immediately at everybody's, within everyone's grasp all the time, right? Especially through technology and satisfaction of curiosity in every moment. And so we have to take special care to practice self-denial, right? As our Lord said, unless you do penance, you likewise shall perish. We can't just always seek the easier route. We have to voluntarily embrace certain sacrifices, abnegations, so as to grow in this virtue of fortitude, right? And for your children, likewise, to teach them to embrace the difficult good, right? To persevere, to give them, likewise, in their training tasks, whether it be just hard work, right? Helping around the house, farming, hunting, for example, and even just hobbies, right? Which will fill up their time with at least imitating this virtue, even in the discipline required for martial arts or sports, etc. But doing so for the formation of their soul and discipline, right? And the development of fortitude towards real goods in the end. And and he points out how, then he goes on to give Father Roy Marine five counsels so as to grow in fortitude. To be practical now, just going through his five counsels that he recommends. One, to constantly beg it of God, right? St. James tells us that God is generous in giving. If we're lacking in any virtue, just ask it of God, right? And so it is an infused virtue in our soul, in addition to the habit that we form by repetitive actions. So ask for fortitude every day. It's a supernatural virtue, as we have a supernatural end. And that's why we'll have, likewise, a gift of the Holy Ghost with this same name. A gift of the Holy Ghost, which is to put wind in our sails when even our rowing, right, with the practice of the virtue of fortitude starts to fail, when it's not enough. Okay, we need this to safely arrive at the port of salvation. And so we should just remember, too, this is the paradox of our Christian life, too, right, that when we are weak, then we are strong. Because without our Lord, we can do nothing, but we can do all things through him who strengthens us. So that's a paradox that we live in, where our human effort is never going to be enough. And God set it up that way, that we might cry out for him as our merciful Redeemer. Oh God, come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help me. That's how we grow in holiness, is by dependency on God, becoming like a little child. So yes, we have to do violence to steal the kingdom of heaven, violence to ourselves, denying ourselves every day, taking up the cross to follow him, but we have to do so relying on his grace. Okay, so that's in addition to practices of fortitude, asking for it every day, that God increase it in us. As the scripture refers to God, fortitudo mea, right? We refer to him as our fortitude, as our rock, as our firmness, our strength. Second counsel he gives, to foresee the difficulties which we shall encounter on the path of virtue. St. Thomas recommends this especially, saying in this way one gradually overcomes his fear, and when difficulties actually arise, he will overcome them much more easily because he has anticipated them. So think of the parable of our Lord too. What man setting out to build a fortress or build a house doesn't first think if he has all that he needs, or he's going to war, is he actually capable of vanquishing his enemy, right? Because there's sins of excess as well, besides cowardice by defect, we could also sin by foolhardiness, right? Trying more than we are actually capable of. That wouldn't be according to the true means of fortitude. And so I think it helps too, because we naturally, oftentimes we succumb to cowardice by being overly anxious and fearful, right, of the unknown. And we'd be better just to sort of calculate, right, what are the risks involved, what will be the difficulties, how will I handle them, and proceed, right? If you have the plan already in your mind beforehand, knowing that all things pass, right, everything passes away, the difficulties are only for a moment, we just persevere, the weather changes every day, right? And so to think about it beforehand, this is how fortitude is perfected by prudence. And the third counsel he gives, to accept with a generous spirit the little annoyances of daily life. He comments, every vocation in life is accompanied with its own particular crosses and difficulties, even if it be merely a matter of the monotony of one's daily activities. If we do not learn to accept the inevitable inconveniences and small trials of daily life, such as cold and heat, pain and discomfort, small illnesses and aches, contradictions and ingratitude, we shall never make any progress in cultivating the Christian virtue of fortitude. Okay? This is something to think about, that, as our Lord said, right, he who's faithful or unfaithful in little things will be faithful or unfaithful in greater things. And so if we try to think of, you know, if they tried to tell me to deny my faith, no way, and I'm going to fight against, you know, one world order of evil, great, but have you first conquered yourself? What order reigns in your home? Has there been an infiltration of your own house with the spirit of the world? Do you even persevere in the grace of God? Are you praying the family rosary every day? Right? Before we think about the enemies without, we have to conquer the enemy within, right? Because Christ will only be king in society if he's king first in our homes and in our hearts. And so, first things first, St. Therese, please read her autobiography. Her writings are so wonderful in that she always conceived that God is in those little details. And she didn't have great works, right, to offer our Lord, but only little works done with great fidelity. And that made her faithful in those little graces, made her faithful in greater graces as well. She always had the gift of counsel, what to say to someone. She was always faithful to listening to God in prayer. She made all these little sacrifices, and now she lets forth a shower of roses from heaven, right? Upon all, due to the great merits that she accrued by those little sacrifices. So being faithful in our little sacrifices, right? Why think of how we would respond to somebody putting a gun to our head to renounce the faith if we lose our patience so easily before a simple insult. Fourth counsel he gives, to meditate frequently on the passion and death of Christ. There is nothing which so animates and comforts delicate souls as the contemplation of the heroism of Christ. Right? He was a man of sorrows, as Isaiah said in prophecy, one acquainted with infirmities. He left us an example of suffering so that we should follow in his footsteps, as we heard today. So there's nothing more inspiring, right, than to contemplate the heroism, the fortitude of Christ. It's also what we should consider when, you know, we feel a need, right, to share our pain or to vent. Oftentimes we wind up sharing the faults of others and border on detraction. The first counsel is to go to the cross, right, to share it with Christ. You'll find an immediate consolation which comes from his wounded side. And I think in comparison, you'll see that, well, I don't really suffer that much by comparison. Here's a man who, as St. Thomas says, suffered every type of suffering, every type of sorrow. There's none that we cannot relate to Christ, crucified, the man of sorrows. The Blessed Virgin Mary, too, and St. Joseph, to think of the Holy Family, right? They had so many sorrows to endure in this life, especially the constant threat that they would take the life of their son. And so, meditating frequently on the passion and death of Christ. And lastly, the fifth counsel he gives is to intensify our love of God, for love is as strong as death. As St. Paul says, but in all these things we overcome because of him who hath loved us. And that's a key to fortitude, right? All of our passions are based on love, right? All of our emotions. Hatred stems from love, anger stems from love, sadness stems from love. How so? But we hate that evil which goes against what we love. We have anger when love is threatened by some difficult evil. We have sorrow if we've lost what we loved. So all of those can be rightly ordered, right? And holy anger, holy fear, holy sadness, if we have a holy love, if we love God above all things, right? If he's the aim of all our actions, who can separate me from the love of God? Nothing. Even if they take my life. They cannot, as our Lord said, do not fear those who can kill the body but cannot touch your soul. But rather fear him who can consign your soul to hell after your body has died. Right? The only thing we should fear in this life is sin, ultimately. And so if our love is ordered right, if we love God above all things, we will have true fortitude. We will gladly glory in our infirmities, that the strength of Christ may dwell in us. And particularly, Father Royer Marine mentions how, as virtue is a quality of the soul, it grows immediately by intense acts of virtue. Okay? So before we, besides thinking of our time of prayer that we should spend each day, try to make, as the fathers of the church taught us too, just those ejaculatory prayers, just to spend one holy minute trying to make a most perfect act of love that you can, right? And that just brief intensity can immediately increase the virtue of our charity and by consequence, our fortitude. And then I close by just mentioning a heroic example of, again, as our Lord puts the little ones before us as our model of perfection. And we have one that the church has canonized, St. Jose Sanchez del Rio, known as the Niño Cristero, the boy Cristero, who lived during the persecution, the Masonic persecution of Catholics and the Catholic Church in Mexico. In 1926, when the war broke out, he was but 13 years of age. And he begged his mom permission to follow his brothers and join the Cristero army. It is that army that was trying to resist this unjust imposition and persecution of the people and their faith by the government. And he, when his mom told him, well, you're too small, you're too little, you easily run the risk of losing your life, he replied, Mom, it's never been so easy as to gain heaven as now, giving our life for Christ the King. Wow, right? What a heroic example. 13 years old, and he had that degree of fortitude. Where did he get it? Praying his rosary and serving Mass, right? As an acolyte, to kneel and look at the cross of Christ. And that's made present, right? As he's lifted up on the cross and mystically sheds his blood for love of us, that's where he attained the fortitude. Being faithful to those little things, he now had the fortitude for greater things. So he was allowed to join the army, but put in charge of the horses and bringing food to the soldiers, though he greatly wanted to fight in this very just war for this just cause. And then one day, it befell him that his general's horse was injured in battle, and he got off his own and gave it to his general, saying, you are more important than me. Please take mine. And he was left to stand before the federal army and trying to use whatever ammunition he had. He wound up in the end throwing stones at them as they pointed their rifles at him. And then, impressed by his fortitude, they didn't shoot him. They thought, wow, this kid is really impressive. Let's see if we can convert him to our side, right? We need someone like this. And so they tried. So they took him, imprisoned him, and tried to convince him. They said, well, you'll never see your parents again. He said, I'll see my parents in heaven. He wrote to his dad saying, don't give them a penny for my cause to release me. I don't want them to have any money for their wicked plans. He was in imprisoned in a church, which they had turned into a barn, putting in animals. Chickens and horses in the church, desecrating the church. And so he, knowing that this was a source of food for their soldiers, went and broke the necks of the chickens, even poked out the eye of the horse of the general, so he couldn't ride it. And so he persevered in fortitude in all of these circumstances while he was imprisoned. So finally, they tried simply to torture him, and they cut the undersides of his feet. And he voluntarily agreed to walk to the place where he knew they were going to kill him. And he said, because I don't want their wicked hands to touch my body, which is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Right? So he walked as a lamb led to the slaughter for that very purpose, always conscious of his Christian dignity. And when they got to the cemetery, there they stabbed him again telling him that if he only renounced Christ as king, they would let him go. But rather he said, I will never renounce him. Long live Christ the King. Long live Our Lady of Guadalupe. Saint Jose Sanchez del Rio, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.